It's February 2014, and anti-government protests are reaching boiling point on the streets of the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. The city's independent square, the Maidan, is where the country's latest revolution began. Firing up the crowd is Mustafa Nayyem, one of Ukraine's best-known investigative journalists and anti-corruption campaigners. Mustafa Nayyem is famous for challenging the country's leading politicians, who, as anyone will tell you, are not popular people in Ukraine.
It's hard to trust any politicians now. I won't trust them for a long time.
I was hoping that after these events on Maidan, everything would change. But now I see that everything is still the same.
Politicians have always been liars, and they won't change.
Journalists like Mustafa are vital in a country where corruption is rife and politicians are open to bribery, which made it all the more shocking when back in September, he revealed he was to leave journalism and seek a new career as a politician. Switching sides in this way left people speechless, and many saw it as a massive betrayal of his ideals. I'm Andrei Kravets from the BBC's Ukrainian service, and ahead of the recent parliamentary elections, I traveled back to my homeland to find out more about Mustafa Nayyem. How did an immigrant boy from Afghanistan manage to make his mark in Ukrainian society? And has this leading anti-corruption campaigner sold his audience short? Or is this an attempt to kickstart much-needed changes in Ukraine's political life?
And of course, journalist, activist, turned politician, Mustafa Nayyem.
In the capital, Kyiv, Mustafa Nayyem is speaking at a conference on the future of Ukraine. It's a packed room full of local students, foreign diplomats, and journalists, of course, although this time it's Mustafa being put under the spotlight, and some people are harder to impress than others.
I think that Mustafa has good intentions going to Ukrainian politics, but I also do think that in politics people should have sufficient knowledge of issues like economics and should have sufficient educational background in order to pursue these parliament seats.
You know, till today I actually was very negative about him because personally I didn't like his switch from journalist to politician. But you know, today he actually somehow managed to open my heart to him and I really start to like him.
I think he's a brilliant journalist, but at the same time I think he's quite romantic. And my personal fear that he will be eaten by the sharks in the parliament. I wish him good luck, but we have all our reservations. We'll see.
It's been a couple of months since Mustafa made his big decision to leave journalism behind, and now the reality of what he's taken on has really started to hit him. Once at the top of his profession, he's now starting over again.
You know, maybe it's hardest days in my life, last 2 months.
I met up with Mustafa after he finished speaking at the debate.
In one day, you're losing everything. You're losing your friends, you're losing your colleagues, you're losing your audience, you're losing your support. You used to be popular, you used to be loved. And now, in one day, just because of one news that you are running for parliament, everything changed. For many people, it was like betraying. Yes, and I understand them. I understand what they feel. I felt the same thing with our colleagues, which decided to do the same things in earlier years.
So you agree that actually in Ukraine, when you say politician, there is this negative connotation.
Yeah. It's not only negative connotation. It's like, you know, you became like evil.
Now, I know you must be thinking, is it really that big of a deal for a man to switch jobs? Well, what you have to understand is what Mustafa Nayyem represented and what he's given up to pursue his political ambition. Still only 33 years old, he's already been something of a trailblazer in Ukraine.
Добрий вечір. Ми продовжуємо наш ефір сьогодні.
Back in 2013, a group of journalists and activists, including Mustafa, set up Громадське TV, which means public TV, a station funded by donations from the public. This was something of a landmark for Ukraine, a country where the line between politics and the big business empires of oligarchs is very blurred indeed. Many of the country's major politicians also control the media. Even the new president, Petro Poroshenko, owns a TV channel, although he's promised to sell it. Mustafa's Hromadske TV held public figures to account and proved popular with viewers. As one of the main presenters, Mustafa became something of a celebrity, and the channel played an important role in reporting the Maidan protest too. Back in 2012, Mustafa was one of the first journalists to really challenge President Yanukovych about his lavish lifestyle, at a time when he said the government didn't have enough money for ordinary Ukrainians.
Поэтому я вам задам следующий вопрос. Вы сегодня сильно очень много раз заявили о том, что в стране плохо с экономикой.
He challenged Yanukovych about his family's business interests and asked how was it that the president's son, who incidentally is a dentist, managed to become a billionaire in the space of just 1 year.
Поэтому о какой сладкой жизни вы говорите, я не знаю.
President Yanukovych said it was simply the result of hard work, but he finished the conversation in shocking style.
Я вам хочу сказать, что я вам не завидую.
The president said to Mustafa, "Я вам не завидую," I don't envy you. And, as you can hear, this caused something of a stir among the other reporters attending the press conference. That's because in Ukraine, "I don't envy you" has a sort of double meaning, and many observers saw it as a veiled threat. Still, it was a career-defining moment for Mustafa. So why would he want to leave such a successful career behind? The seeds were sown last year, when Mustafa made a trip to Stanford University in California, where he had an encounter with the leading American intellectual, Francis Fukuyama.
It was great discussion with him. Mm-hmm. He explained the way transition countries with transition period from dictatorship to democracy, why they failed. And one of the reasons was that social mobilization of people didn't convert to political activity. Mm-hmm. What is very important point is that that stereotype is because our politicians are very corrupted. We don't like them, and we don't like what they do. So one of the reasons why I did it is just, okay, it's true, I hate them too. But we can change this stereotype. We can show that politicians could be other way. They can act other way.
Mustafa has aligned himself with the party of the current Ukrainian president, Petro Poroshenko, who was elected earlier this year when the previous president, Viktor Yanukovych, fled to Russia following the Maidan protests. Україна у нас одна, єдина і неподільна. In this rather dramatic campaign ad featuring images of the recent conflict, Poroshenko's party is calling for Ukraine to unite. A big ask when large parts of the country are still in the hands of pro-Russian separatists. But it's perhaps admirable that an outsider like Mustafa would want to work his way into the political establishment instead of standing on the sidelines criticizing, even more so considering his background. The son of an immigrant from Afghanistan, Mustafa was himself born in Kabul. Coming to live in Ukraine as a young boy must have been a big change to deal with. And so I wonder if this is where his resilience comes from. To find out more about what makes Mustafa tick, I decided to speak to the people who know him best.
Добрий день. Добрий. Здравствуйте. Андрей. Очень приятно.
I went to meet Mustafa's father, Naim, and stepmother, Valentina, and they told me how the family first came to live in Ukraine.
When I was a teacher at the university in Kabul, I was offered a place to study for 3 years in what was then the Soviet Union, in Moscow. I moved there in 1987. When I finished my postgraduate training, there was a revolution back in Afghanistan. I had to decide what to do next. My wife had died a few years before when my son Mustafa was only 2.5 years old and his little brother, Masih, was only 10 days old. In Moscow, I then met Valentina. We decided to get married and she said, we have to take the children with us. Mustafa was 8 years old when we moved to Moscow in 1989. And then, in 1990, we all moved to Kyiv, because Valentina was Ukrainian.
What was Mustafa like when he lived in Kabul?
He was a very independent boy in Afghanistan. Even when he was little, he constantly wanted to argue. I remember once I was picking him up from nursery, and as we walked, I smoked. He took out a pencil and pretended to smoke as well. I got angry. "What are you doing?" I said. He answered, "It's a joke, but why are you smoking for real?" I had to explain to him that this is a bad habit. He asked, "Can one quit?" I said, "Yes, if one has the willpower." He then asked, "Do you have the willpower?" I said, "Yes, so you can quit," he asked. I said, "Yes," and I did quit, as I wanted to show him a good example.
The irony that the country he left, Afghanistan, was the victim of a Soviet invasion is not lost on Mustafa. With Ukraine's army now fighting pro-Russian separatists, it seems what goes around comes around.
What is true, it's destiny maybe, is that Afghanistan, when I was young, when I was 5 years or 3 years, was occupied by Russian troops. And my father at that time was 32 or 33.
About the same age as you.
The same age as I am. And all my childhood, I've heard about that invasion. He told me about the stories about Russian Soviet Union troops and about the fights on front line. And I didn't understand. And now, in 25 years, I'm in the same situation as my father was. When you see that your country is occupied by Russian troops. And I feel the same things. When I talk to him now, I understand what is about when I was a kid. So in my life, this story is repeating. That's very symbolic.
As well as being Afghan, Mustafa is Muslim too, although today he lives a secular lifestyle. Ukraine has its own Muslim population, mainly concentrated in the Tatar communities who live in Crimea. Although a minority, Muslims are pretty well integrated into society. Still, for Mustafa, coming to Ukraine from a conservative Muslim society like Afghanistan was a major culture shock, says his stepmother Valentina.
I remember very vividly when he first saw a woman smoking in the street. After that, he couldn't speak for 3 days. Then he saw a couple hugging in the street. He was shocked. But of course, there were some tensions about the color of his skin, more when we lived 1 year in Russia, less here in Ukraine. I specifically found a school for him where there were children with different skin colors. There were kids from Mongolia, Congo, and many other countries.
Were you supporting him when he was a journalist?
It started even before he finished school. When he was about 14 or 15, he used to go to a youth camp in Crimea and he launched a newspaper in the camp. So signs were there and he was always investigating something, always looking for something, always looking for the truth. There was this very sad story when Mustafa's real mom died. He was just 2.5. It was very difficult for my husband to tell him that his mom had died. But when he did, Mustafa replied, "Prove it. I don't believe it." They drove around Kabul looking for his mom. Went to the market, to the zoo. She wasn't there. Then they went to her workplace. Mustafa ran around the corridors, couldn't find her. And only after that did he understand that she had passed away.
What was your reaction when Mustafa came and said that he wants to go into politics?
Very negative. Because politicians depend on their party. It narrows their outlook. They don't see the wider spectrum. When he told us about his decision, I jokingly asked him straight away, "Aren't you betraying those people who trusted you as a journalist?" But you know what? I was always proud when people asked me, "Is he your son, that journalist?" I said proudly, "Yes, but not anymore. I'm not proud of him as a politician, not until he does something good and proves that he is a good politician."
It's got to be tough when your own family is criticizing your career choice. However, Mustafa is typical of many candidates in the current election campaign. In fact, one of the main initiatives has been to find new faces just like him.
people with a solid reputation to replace the corrupt old guard. Several other bloggers and activists have put themselves forward for election too, but Ukrainian social media has been full of sarcastic comments pointing out that many of these wannabe politicians are cut from the same cloth. And so, if you're young, bilingual, have a degree from a Western university, then you're just perfect for the Ukrainian parliament, whether you have political experience or not. Among those standing for election for the first time is Sergei Leschenko, deputy editor of the highly influential news website Ukrainska Pravda. A former colleague of Mustafa Nayyem's, Sergei is also standing for election under the umbrella of President Poroshenko's bloc.
It's a challenge for me. From another side, of course, I was very critical about politics and politicians in Ukraine. But I will try to do the same fair job as it was in journalism.
But so do you think that the same people who trusted you as a journalist, would they trust you as a politician?
I hope so, because I'm not going to do it.
You know, they're quite critical.
But they're criticizing us even before we became members of parliament. Mm. If you would like to have a new quality of politicians, give us a chance.
How would you feel being an MP with the people that you expose, to their corruption? Mm-hmm. And are they happy that you're going with them?
You know, I think they feel the same uncomfortable as we feel ourselves in this list. But from another side, it's a good example for leadership of Poroshenko party, because they have an internal opposition. We are not going to tolerate corruption. We are not going to tolerate the bad examples of political leadership as well.
Don't you think you could be more effective being a journalist?
I have been working as a journalist since year 2000. Okay, we exposed thousands of corruption schemes, but corruption is still going on in Ukraine. I believe that we can make changes from inside much more effectively than it was to criticize from outside.
Many would argue that bringing in new faces is a good thing, but on the other hand, there is the risk that the political parties seem a bit desperate. I'm meeting Vitaly Klitschko. Just a few years ago, he was boxing heavyweight champion. Now he is a political heavyweight in Ukraine. He is the mayor of the Ukrainian capital, a key ally of President Poroshenko and of the same political bloc as Mustafa. We just got stuck in a bit of a traffic, running a little late for our meeting, but we'll get there.
Fortunately, I did make it just on time. I began by asking Mayor Klitschko how Ukrainian politics can benefit from this new, yet inexperienced, generation of politicians.
It's very good for Ukrainian politics if you want to change the rules, if you want to be transparent, open. I think so, it's very good. They doesn't have classic Ukrainian politician background, because the politician in Ukrainian society is some liar, cheater.
Yeah, the word has a bit of a negative connotation, don't you think?
It's true. It's true. But if they not professional politician, they can be objective. You don't need to study old politician rules. Mm-hmm. It's much more important for everyone who come to politics how patriotic you are. People don't believe anymore for Ukrainian classic politician. They told enough, live with the corruption. New faces in Ukraine have much more credibility, much more trust. And that's why we need reloading whole system and also reloading parliament. We need new faces.
You probably know better than anyone else, because obviously you were a boxing heavyweight champion and you entered politics, and probably it was a difficult decision for you as well. But what do you think now? Do you regret that you've taken this road?
It's big fight. Mm. It's fight every day. Sometimes it's fight no rules, not like in the sport, but I know better than anyone, no fight, no win.
And just over a week ago, Mustafa Nayyem won the first round of his political career when he was successfully elected to parliament. A possible victory for Ukrainian politics, but could it also be a knockout blow for Ukrainian journalism?
And here's one of the oldest universities in Eastern Europe, Kyiv-Mohyla Academy, in a picturesque Podil district.
It is very old and shabby building with both EU and Ukrainian flags above the main entrance, but it's full of history. The original academy was founded in the 17th century. It was closed in Soviet times and reopened its doors after the collapse of the USSR. So let's go inside and speak to the future journalists. For some of them, Mustafa was a role model.
My name is Katya. I don't really know what he'll be doing there, which matters he'll be dealing with. What will he do about the economy or about education or any other sector? I'm not sure if he can be an expert in those. He's a very good journalist, but when it comes to politics, I'm not sure.
Will you miss him as a journalist?
My name is Julia, and of course I will miss Mustafa as a journalist because he really is an opinion leader and he was an example, as for me. Now, Mustafa, we're watching you.
I just wanted to say that if such cool people are going into politics, then Ukraine automatically loses the best people from the Fourth Estate that controls the system. Okay, the new generation of journalists is coming. But some of the very best professionals are leaving. And the main point is that in such an important period for the country, when so much change is happening, who will keep an eye on the government and politicians? That's the problem.
It's true that Mustafa Nayyem will leave some big boots to fill, but he's clearly inspired many young journalists who dream of following in his footsteps. Ukrainian journalism is arguably in good health. So maybe now is a good time for Mustafa to move on and try to do the same in politics. He says he wants to set the example for a new generation of parliamentarians to uphold the high ethical standards he once demanded as a journalist. Yulia Mostovaya is a media expert and editor-in-chief of the very influential Zerkalo Tyzhnya. I asked her if such changes are really possible.
Насправді в Україні відбувається почала відбуватися зміна політичної еліти.
The political elite is changing now in Ukraine. Those post-Soviet managers that turned into the business elite in the 90s who enriched themselves through buying up former state enterprises. So, this business elite controls the Ukrainian authorities these days. And we now have the remnants of that elite. I mean Poroshenko, Prime Minister Yatsenyuk, and people from their inner circle. But can we say that there is already a new young political elite? I guess it is too early to say. But the first sprouts are already there. We can feel it.
So what do you think about the decision of Sergei Leshenko, for instance, and Mustafa Nayyem to go into parliament?
I'm not a big fan of journalists going into parliament. Let me remind you that since the times of President Kuchma, it has been journalists who exposed the biggest corruption schemes amongst the authorities, not opposition politicians. And there were very few of these investigative journalists and publications in the country. And I think that Mustafa's and Serhii's decision to go into politics will definitely weaken this journalistic front.
Speaking to people for this program, it seems many are conflicted. On the one hand, they desperately want political change in Ukraine. But on the other, they're critical of the people trying to make that change happen. It reminds me of the story Mustafa told me about the lesson he learned in California, that countries going through political upheaval often fall short of their potential because protest leaders fail to transfer their influence into political power. Mustafa and other campaigners like him are now trying to break that cycle, but it won't be easy. Today, Russia has annexed the Crimean Peninsula, and the east of Ukraine remains swamped by military conflict. Thousands of people have been killed, and war is probably the most commonly used word in the country. But Mustafa says being a politician won't change his values. And it's true that while he'll sit with the bloc of President Poroshenko, he's not a member of Poroshenko's party. This, he says, is to maintain his independence, something which is crucial if he and his fellow activists are to really make their mark in the murky world of Ukrainian politics.
We have big goals and dream. The thing with which I'm waking up every day is to unite all those young politicians who are going for parliament. I think our generation will lost if we disappear among those old-fashioned politicians.
Do you feel strong that you can change the system?
I feel strong in that because we have this roadmap. And my big dream is to make conditions in which next parliament, next campaign, young politicians will be able to go independently without those rich oligarchs, without old political parties. And for that, we should adopt several laws. First of all, we should adopt law about budget funding of political parties. Why? Because it's only one way to make political parties independent from oligarchs. Now we don't have competition of ideas. We have now competition of pockets. The more money you have, the more successful you could be in political activity. And the second law we should adopt to make this possible is that we should think the way those oligarchs should influence on situation. Because if you want to lobby, if you want to influence, please do it transparent. I don't want to be bribed. I don't want to hide my eye when journalists will ask me, how do you earn your money? If I do it once, I will be demolished by people, by people's opinion. I want to be honest and I want to be frank. Come on, it's my life. Only one thing I have, it's my reputation.